It's 9:30. Do you know what time it is? It's time for the Coffee Break Chat with host Mike Bellamy on WICC.
Continue to talk about Bridgeport education and the Supreme Court decision. I thought it would be best to bring in a legal expert and somebody who obviously has experience when it comes to Board of Educations as the chairman of the Guilford Board of Education, but also an attorney with Koskoff, Koskoff & Peter. Bill Bloss joining us here. Bill, good morning. How are you?
Morning. How are you? Good.
I'm doing all right. You know, we've had you in before. We were following the situation in Bridgeport. We've had some sort of a resolution at this point since we've talked. The Supreme Court did decide that it was illegal based on the training grounds for the state to take over the Bridgeport Board of Education, and they've even come up with a remedy as to what is going to progress. If you could first just tell us what the Supreme Court decided, and then we'll go into some of the details after that.
Sure. In a nutshell, the Supreme Court decided that the State Board of Education just did not have the power to take over the Bridgeport school system, the Board of Education, without following the statute very, very clearly. And the statute says that the state does not have the power, cannot take over a local school district until it's provided training to try to fix whatever the problems are with the particular Board of Education. And I think what the opinion was very clear in one respect, that this isn't just for the benefit of the Board of Education, it's for the benefit of the public, that the public has a right to know that the state is concerned that the Board of Education isn't doing its job. The public has a right to be invested in the process. Justice Zarella, who wrote the majority opinion, used the word transparency over and over and over again in his opinion. He said, look, if you're going to take this drastic step to take away local control, you have to do it in the open. And that's just not what happened here.
And then what were the remedies? It was more than just a decision. They actually went forward and said what needs to take place next.
Yeah, what the court did was actually just short of a 100% win for the plaintiffs. It was a 99.9% win. The court said there's going to be a new election to replace to seat the four members whose terms expired in the interim. But the other five members aren't going to retake their seats until the special election, at least according to the Supreme Court's opinion. So in other words, once the town clerk certifies the results of the special election, then all nine will be seated. And the court very expressly stayed its order until that special election has happened. So it's not going to be chaos, but it's going to be an orderly transition, but it won't happen until the special election.
And I think in the meantime, hasn't it gone back to the Superior Court and they've to me, there was discussion about it bouncing back to the Supreme Court when it comes to how the specific special election is going to take place.
Yeah, this talk about writing on a clean slate. They're writing on a really clean slate here, and there aren't rules for this because this has never happened before.
Bridgeport always seems to be in the middle of situations like that where it's never happened anywhere else before.
It seems to be, but that's what the situation you find yourself in when you put yourself in this position. This wasn't an accident. This didn't happen by lightning striking or a tornado coming through the middle of town. This was a result of very conscious, very deliberate decisions made by some members of the board and some other leaders, and that's put the town and the city in a very difficult position. It's too bad, but it's not accidental.
So even if the elected Board of Education votes to have the state take over, that has no bearing on following statutes when it comes to the State Board of Education taking over a local board.
Yeah, that was the point of the dissent. The dissent by Justice Palmer, great guy, smart guy, very practical, said, look, you know, if the board is convinced that as a majority the training wouldn't do any good, then you should allow them to make that determination. The problem is it's a public right. It's a public obligation to have the training component. So it's not something that you can say, look, I think that the training wouldn't do any good. Well, how do you know the training wouldn't do any good? And doesn't the public have a right? The people that voted for these nine people, don't they have a right to have some say in what happens and to be on notice that the process is ongoing and that the state's concerned? You know, I think the maybe the best reading in the opinion from a kind of a political point of view is Justice Harper's concurring opinion. Luby Harper is a relatively new appointee. He's a Malloy appointee to the court, and he wrote a short concurring opinion. And it's important because he used to represent the New Haven Board of Education when he was in private practice. Very bright guy, very practical, very attuned to what the issues are in urban schools. And he stressed that really what was at risk here is not just the performance of the schools, but something much deeper, really a tearing of the social fabric, that if you take away the investment of parents in the school system, that parents don't think that their voice makes a difference, then you may wind up doing some short-term benefit, but there's going to be a long-term cost. If you divest parents of the belief that they have a say, that they can control what happens in their schools, then, yeah, you may do better for the short term. But without that community and parental support, it's not going to work in the long term. And I think Justice Harper got it exactly right.
And that control you're talking about is an elected board versus a state-appointed board.
Right. That you are, in effect, saying to the community, you made a mistake. You voted for these people, and they can't do the job. And that's a board of education has one thing, one commodity, and that's credibility. And if the local board of education doesn't have credibility with the community, then there really is no long-term fix. Look, we all agree that the issues in any of the urban districts are very, very substantial. Everybody agrees with that. But there's not going to be a quick fix. There's just not.
Bill Bloss is joining us, Koskoff, Koskoff & Beter, also chairman of the Guilford Board of Education. We're going to take a break. When we come back, what could the legislature have done to get around the Supreme Court decision? We'll ask Bill about that. It was announced yesterday that they are not going to pursue that angle, which made people who are rallying at City Hall very happy. But what could the legislature have done to get around the Supreme Court decision? We'll ask him about that coming up next. Right now, let's check traffic and weather. All right, welcome back to the Coffee Break Chat. Thank you very much, Tony. Bill Bloss, Koskoff, Koskoff & Beter. Also, the chairman of the Guilford Board of Education, which gives Bill a real unique perspective on this. No situations like this happening in Guilford? I mean, you guys aren't voting next week on dissolving and having the state take over?
Well, no, but I'll tell you, I think that it's very hard to read these decisions, the Supreme Court decision, without getting a flavor that the court was really not happy with the process. The posting of the meeting on Friday at 4:55 for the meeting next Tuesday over a three-day holiday weekend, the adding it to the agenda of the State Board of Education the next day after the Bridgeport vote, and the fact that apparently, according to the opinion, there were discussions with some of the board members and some state board leaders starting as early as January. I think it is very fair to say the court didn't like that process at all. And when you don't do things in the open, it winds up putting a very bad flavor on it sometimes. And I think that's the court certainly didn't like that.
So, Bill, what is going to happen with this process? Now they need to come to terms with qualifications for individuals running for this Board of Ed, because the people's terms that expired, what is it, four individuals, those seats are going to be up for special election.
Correct.
The other five will then fill in the rest of the elected Board of Ed once this special election takes place. What are we looking at for a timetable here with this state-appointed board sort of, you know, in there in the interim?
Well, the state-appointed board is going to continue to operate, and there is no suggestion in the decision in the Supreme Court decision that the new board's decisions are going to be at all vacated or at legal risk. There is a new superintendent, obviously. I think there's nothing in the decision that suggests that is going to be undone just as a legal matter. Now, what would the new board do? Hard to say. I would hope. You know, I would hope as somebody who works in Bridgeport and has a tremendous interest in making sure that education moves forward, you know, in every town and city in the district, in the state, that the new board, when it is seated after the election, would really take a breath and try to not just automatically undo everything that's happened. Because you know what? There may be some things that the new board, the appointed board has done that are good. And I'd hate to see the new board, the new elected board, say, well, just because they did it, we're going to undo it. And that would be terrible. On the other hand, the first thing that I think the new board ought to think about doing is to try to mend some community fences and just listen. Listen to what the community is concerned about. Listen to what the community thinks might work. And just try to get a flavor. What would there be support for? And you can never get in trouble by listening. when you're on a board of education. Never.
Mayor Finch was on the program yesterday, Bill, and he said that from the Supreme Court decision, he felt that the Supreme Court was anti-children. Did you feel that from the decision, being that, I mean, the Bridgeport schools are, you know, for the most part, are not in good shape at this particular point, whether it was the, you know, the elected board before's responsibility, teacher's responsibility, whatever the case may be, all that still needs to be dissected and fixed overall. But the mayor's, based on the decision, was that the Supreme Court is anti-children. Based on, I mean, you got to see Bill's got what appears to be close to the Bible when it comes to all these decisions. Did you get that flair and feel from the majority opinion of the Supreme Court?
You know, not at all. And not only that, I got exactly the opposite feel. And I respect the mayor. He's trying to do a this is not the easiest job in the United States of America, to be the mayor of a city in Connecticut. We all understand that. It's not the easiest job in the United States to be on the Board of Education of a city that has the challenges that Bridgeport or New Haven or Hartford has. But I think exactly the opposite is the case, because, again, without credibility, without political foundation, without community involvement, a Board of Education can't succeed. It's impossible. And I think, again, going back to Justice Harper's concurring opinion, and he knows more about this than anybody else on the court, having represented the New Haven Board of Education for so many years. And he said, look, you just can't make these kind of top-down changes without the community being involved and it being in the open and it being discussed and debated. That's what makes long-lasting change possible. And that's what's going to lead to improved student achievement, improved learning. And it's not, I wish there was an easier way to do it. I wish there was a switch to flick. Right. I wish you could just pass a law and say, fine, student achievement is going to improve. It's not going to work. It can't happen. That's not the way it can possibly operate.
It was announced yesterday the state legislature was not going to pursue the possibility of working around the Supreme Court decision. Give us some what could have happened scenarios, meaning what legally could the legislature do to get around a Supreme Court decision?
Well, truthfully, there's not a lot they could have done in this particular situation, because a person who is elected to an office actually has a federally protected interest in maintaining that. So if the legislature took that away, the city would be opened, or the state actually would be opened, to a federal civil rights lawsuit. So really, in this situation, there wasn't much they could have done, to be honest. But this is purely a statutory situation, a statutory problem, and that is when the legislature added this training language to the statute in 2010, it could have made it optional. It could have made it at the vote of the majority or at the order of somebody, the State Board of Education or the Education Commissioner. They could have done all of those things. They didn't. And I think, frankly, I don't think that the legislative comments I've seen for coming out of the General Assembly leaders, I don't think that they have much stomach, frankly, for taking away local control except in the most exceptional circumstances. So it's not that onerous, frankly. The training requirement, it's not like you have to get 4 years of college and that's going to be what the training requirement is. It's not defined anywhere in the statute what the training requirement is. It might be a day-long seminar. And then the state takes over if after a month. It's not that onerous a problem or a situation. But again, the rush in this situation, the not doing it publicly, the lack of transparency, I think that's really what led to the decision.
And lastly, in Bridgeport, there seems to be some sort of a feeling a lot of the times if certain individuals want something to happen, it's going to happen. If this new elected board gets put into play, what's to stop the state to starting the process legally, following the state statute, to then put a state-appointed board in play day one when the new elected Board of Education goes into play?
Well, I don't think they could do it day one, because they'd trip over the same hurdle, and that is that they would have to go through the training.
Well, I mean, they start the training process right at the beginning and cross the T's, dot the I's, everything along those lines. What's to stop the state? Because the governor has already come out saying that he's he's in support of the decision, not the Supreme Court decision. And we know that the mayor's office and even city council representatives are looking at this particular thing. I mean, is there anything that would stop that from happening on day one?
No. No, it legally it could happen.
Yeah.
And it would take more than, you know, a week or two. But
well,
it would it certainly could happen. Whether and again, just as I hope that the new elected board doesn't reflexively take steps to undo some of the good that the appointed board has undoubtedly done, so do I hope that the city doesn't reflexively say, well, we don't think the new elected board can do it either. I just hope that everybody can take a breath, survey the scene, remember that, you know, everybody wants successful Bridgeport schools. Nobody says mediocre is what we're aiming for,
right,
or that we can't do better. Nobody's saying that. Everybody wants the exact same thing. There may be differences of opinion on how to get there, but I hope that they can try to be collaborative and realize that there is no doubt some good in the other side's position. Bridgeport is working very hard right now to get the schools better. Everybody agrees with that, they have a big fight, obviously, a lot of challenges, but it's not going to happen by pointing fingers or by dividing. It just won't get done.
Bill, thank you very much for your time and interesting perspective, not only as an attorney with Koskoff, Koskoff and Beter, but also as the chairman of the Board of Education in Guilford. We appreciate your time. If people would like to contact you for your legal services, how do they go about doing that over at Koskoff, Koskoff and Beter?
Well, our website is koskoff.com, and you can link to me, Bill Bloss, and happy to talk to anybody.
All right, Bill, thank you.
Thanks, Mike.
Bill Bloss of Koskoff, Koskoff and Beter joining us here on WICC 600. Let's check traffic and weather. Gary.